Galatians 5, 1 through 12, these are God's words. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Thus ends the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So at the end of chapter 4, he was talking about the Ishmael way and the Isaac way. The ideas of men way of bringing about the promise. And Sarah, you remember, said, hey, I've got this maidservant. I've got an idea for how we can bring about what God has promised. And that was by the idea and effort of man. And then there was by the promise of God, the Isaac way. And he said the by the way of man is slavery. It's bondage and it ends in destruction. But by the words and promise of God is freedom. And that's the context in which he now says in verse 1, stand fast therefore in the freedom by which Christ has made us free. In the experience of the Galatians, they had this very simple religions, very simple worship, just the means of grace that Christ had given, just the simple New Testament worship. And the Judaizers said, oh, but have you been to the temple and have you seen the sacrifices and have you read? And the Old Testament form of worship seemed much more impressive. The Old Testament religion had a lot more stuff involved in it. They say, we're so much more active. And here the apostle isn't just telling them, don't follow that because it's bondage and leads to destruction, because you can't do anything in yourself spiritually. You rely upon Jesus to work in you. And you and I need to feel and remember that. And not just remember that and rest upon Christ, but also to rejoice that we have him himself. He is the one who has given us what to do. And he is the one who works by what he has given us to do. And so there's this joy, there's this rejoicing, this exulting. As he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not, and New King James says, be entangled again. And the word means come under control again of a yoke of bondage. There was the time where we were under control of these external signs that kept us looking forward to when Christ would have come and when Christ would be the leader of his church. He said, but the people who are telling you to use those outward still or again, A, he's already made the argument throughout the letter that they didn't understand that those things were meant to look forward to Christ. And B, if you go back to the use of the outward forms, you'll be enslaved by, entangled by those outward forms. So he says, do not come under control again or be entangled again by yoke of bondage. Now he says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Very important to read that in context. There may be those among us here this afternoon who are circumcised. Does that mean that Jesus profits us nothing? No, because look at verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. So the idea isn't just if you become circumcised, but if you think that the way you are going to be made righteous, be made into what you must be when the day comes for you to inherit the kingdom. Okay? Without holiness, we will not see the Lord. 1 John says, what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And that those who hope thus purify themselves as he is pure. So it is part of our hope as Christians that God is not just has not just counted us righteous for Jesus' sake, but that he is working in us to make us like Jesus, to make us righteous in our conduct, in our character, like we will be on that last day. Okay? So when he says, if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing, he's talking about if you hope that becoming circumcised is going to be the way that you are made like Jesus. Okay? He says, no, Jesus is the way that you're made like Jesus. Okay? That's why reading the Bible makes us like Jesus. Not because the outward form of looking at words on a particular page and reading them out loud, like there's some kind of mechanical way that, oh, I'm going to become more like Jesus just by reading these lines. And, you know, we could be like the rabbi schools, or even, you know, they're not using the Bible, but the Muslim schools, where you just sit there all day, you know, reading what it says, you know, hoping that somehow it's just going to infuse righteousness into you. That's not how it works. It's Christ who has given us that word. Christ who has told us what to do. It's him who is making us like himself. So he says, you can choose the circumcision way or the Christ way. I'm going to go with the Christ way. Okay, that's what he's saying here in Galatians 5, 1 through 6. He says, so if you become circumcised, hoping that that'll make you more like Jesus, Christ will profit you nothing. Now, I testify to you again, to every man who becomes circumcised, and again, it's to be made right with God or to be made like Jesus, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Okay, so the law was never designed for that. It was never designed to make you right with God, except for by Christ keeping it and being our rightness in God's eyes. And it was never designed by itself, in and of itself, to make us like, to be like Christ. Only by Christ using it, his Spirit applying it to us. And that's exactly what he says in verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. What do you mean, Paul? Aren't you already righteous by faith? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, yes, but our hope is not only that we will be credited, which happens the moment you believe. The moment that you believe in Jesus Christ, you are as right with God as you will ever be. You cannot become more right with God than you are in that moment. But you are not yet righteous in your character, in your conduct, as you ought to be and as you will be, because that's what Christ has earned. So the word righteousness is used to talk about both. In the New Testament. And when he says here, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, it's talking about the second one. Because he's already righteous. What's he eagerly waiting for? He's eagerly waiting for what Jesus can do and does that circumcision cannot do. And those who think that outward forms are going to do that, or that anything that man adds can do that, they are giving up hoping in Christ to do it in order to hope in some extra thing. So you can't have your hands on both. You need to either have both hands on Christ, or you're really letting go of Christ by trying to have one hand on the other thing. So he says, to them, they wouldn't have said this, right? He's telling them that this is how it works, because they think that they're holding on to the Christ that Paul preaches with one hand, and they've just added this extra thing that the Judaizers gave them with the other. He says, verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, who think that you're growing in righteousness in this way by law. You have fallen from grace. He says, so on the one hand, you're hoping in a person, verse 5, and then in the other, on the other hand, verse 6, he describes the way in which the Spirit applies Christ to us, right? So verse 5, we've already covered. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're hoping for something that God the Holy Spirit is doing in us. For in Christ Jesus, neither uncircumcision nor circumcision, circumcision or uncircumcision avails anything. So how is the Spirit making us more like Jesus? Is it through circumcision? No. Well, maybe it's through uncircumcision. No, it's not through that either. How does the Spirit make us more like Christ? What does it say? But faith working through, and the Greek word, the Greek verb there, there are a lot of words that might be translated working. Energao, you know the word energized? You might say fueled by or made operative by. Faith working through love. God increases your faith. God increases your love. And as he increases your trust in him, and as he increases your thankful love back to him, that is the mechanism by which he makes you to be more like Jesus. That's what the scripture says in other places, isn't it? If we love him, we'll obey his commandments. Oh, well, how did we come to? We love him because he first loved us. So he says, if you want to use the mechanisms that he's given you, use the word of God, which tells you who he is and what he has done to stir up your faith. That's faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And as you hear the word of God, and as he presses it into you, as he grows your faith, what will increase? Your love. We love him because he first loved us. And then what will increase? Your law keeping. If we love him, we keep his commandments. You can't take a shortcut. You can't say, the commandments are going to make me like Jesus. No. Jesus makes you like Jesus. And by the way, this is what he uses to make you like himself. And so it's an act of faith to trust him that this is what he is going to do. It's an act of love that he has actually given us these means by which we have fellowship with him. That he enables us to keep his commandments better. And so even the activities that he's chosen, if we start to trust in them, we miss that this is how he is using them. And then, of course, he says, you who ran from obeying the truth, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. So he says, the Lord Jesus who called you and who alone can give you life, he's the one who's given you the way that I already told you about. Why are you trying to add this other stuff? Verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You can't be trusting in Christ alone on the one hand and then add a little bit of trust in man's ideas on the other hand. It ruins the whole thing. You can't introduce yeast into one part of your dough ball and later come back and take the unleavened part and the leavened part. You introduce it in one place, it ends up permeating the whole. He expresses his confidence that they are going to reject what they have heard from the Judaizers, first half of verse 10, warns them that if they don't, they're going to end up bearing judgment with them, second half of verse 10. You know, they've claimed that this is really compatible with what Paul's preaching. He even says it sometimes. And Paul says, it's not what I'm preaching, because if I did this, they wouldn't be so offended. What I'm preaching is Christ alone. And when what into conflict with Christ alone, that's what's been offended. And then it's actually very crass in verse 12, to the point where you don't want to go anywhere further than the text in exactly what it says. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. He said, if we're adding to the way that Jesus does it, and if that can really work, well, you know, let's go all the way. Let's add a much more severe form of beyond even what they are suggesting. Of course, the Lord commanded circumcision, but never commanded that in verse 12. So the whole point is not to be embarrassed by the simplicity of what Christ has given, because Christ himself is the substance. And you can doctor it up, and you can make it more impressive, and you can add outward forms. But he said the transition from a lot of outward stuff to a very simple Christianity was a transition from bondage to freedom. Those outward forms are not special by comparison to getting rid of the outward forms. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And that's just trusting Jesus to make you like Jesus. Don't trust Hopewell to make you like Jesus. Don't trust how simple the worship is to make you like Jesus. That's just replacing a hope in what's been added to a hope in taking it away. Right? He says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. It's not the simplicity of the worship or the simplicity of the Christianity. It's Christ. And he is the one in whom we are placing our hope and to whom we are looking by just following what he has given us.